Hey there, welcome. Bernie Miklas here again, of course, because it's the Bernie Miklas show here on YouTube. And I hope you're having a good Friday, and I hope that you're bracing up for a good weekend, no matter what you're going to do. I know I'm going to be watching a lot of college basketball on Saturday, and I know I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl and all the programming on Sunday. Looking forward to that very much. And I want to talk about the Super Bowl and offer a prediction. And I appreciate those of you who watch it, because this is America's favorite day of sports in terms of TV viewership, and there's intense interest in the St. Louis market. Despite what some of the deniers may claim, the Chiefs are a big deal in terms of people watching them on TV in St. Louis, and anybody who says otherwise is ignoring a mountain of evidence. But then again, what do we expect in America today, right? Facts don't matter. So anyway, I'm looking forward to the game, because I think it's going to be a great game. And I have some good, for those who stick with this, I have some good stuff. I mean, I always look at it from a wagering angle, even though I really don't play the games that much. I will, once we have the official go ahead to bet on sports games in the state of Missouri. I mean, it's been approved, but to actually put it in place, it won't be until later in the year. But I like to play the game in my head. I like to scope out winners. I like to look for, you know me, Mr. Money. Mr. Money as in like Mr. Stats and Mr. Research and finding things that can maybe make money down the road, that kind of stuff. So I'm very thorough about it. But I want to give you some angles. You know, those of you who are undecided about who might win the game, I want to give you some like trends, some history, things like that. So here we go. And I'll try to get through this as quick as I can. But I do want to start. I do want to pause, not to break my word about trying to go quick, because I'm, as many of you know, I'm a Navy football fan. I grew up near Annapolis. And, you know, my first sporting event ever as a little guy was to see the Navy football team that was quarterbacked by Roger Staubach. I don't remember much of the game because I was a little fella. I was 4 years old, almost five. But that I've had a lifelong, you know, love for Navy football. And the reason I'm wearing this today, it's about the only thing I can do. I mean, all you can do when there's a tragedy is just show your respect and acknowledge it. And so you remember the horrific crash, the collision between a passenger jet and a Black Hawk helicopter near Washington National Airport. You remember that, of course. Well, a passenger on the commercial plane, not a pilot or the crew in the Black Hawk helicopter, an actual passenger on the commercial flight from Wichita to Washington, was killed in that tragedy. And he was Brian Ellis, and he was 53 years old, great family man, retired Marine Corps, had a distinguished career in the Marine Corps, working, so to speak, in civilian life. In fact, he was flying back from business in the Wichita area, and he perished in that crash. He was a Navy football player in 1991 and 1992. He was a backup quarterback. And when I got the word of this, in fact, I know Vince Warwick watches these videos. And so I want to tip my cap to my friend Vince Warwick, because I didn't know about this until Vince let me know. Vince is an interesting guy in terms of the Army-Navy rivalry, because he's a West Point graduate, but his son Matt Warwick was not only a starting linebacker for the midshipmen, but a really good one. So Vince had to become a Navy fan, and he still is, but he's sort of like me. I'm a Navy fan, but I root for Army, you know, except for when they're playing Navy, you know. So anyway, you know, God rest his soul, Brian Ellis, 53 years old, and just an awful, awful, awful thing. It's so sad, not for just him, but everyone who lost their lives. So I just wanted to offer a tribute in my own way. All right, let's talk about this Super Bowl game. And depending where you shop for your point spreads, if you wager, the Chiefs are a one-point favorite. But some sports books, right before I came on to do this, I checked it. Some of the sports books have the Chiefs favored by a point and a half. Listen, there are reasons to go with Philadelphia. I mean, start with the fact that I actually think Philadelphia's got the better overall team. But hold on, though, because when it comes to the Chiefs, when does that matter? I mean, you know, there are a lot of games where I don't think they're the better team, but they find a way to win. More on that later. But there are some football reasons to go with Philadelphia. But also, if you're wondering what the sharp money's doing, when I mean my sharp money, I'm talking about professional gamblers who are really, really good at this and really smart. That's why they call them sharp. They are professionals. And I checked in with a couple of contacts I have out at Las Vegas Sportsbooks. They tell me that the smart money, that professional money, has been pouring in on the Eagles. But the same thing happened last week or 2 weeks ago, I should say, when the professional money was coming in late on Buffalo to beat the Chiefs. So, and we know that didn't happen. So the sharps are trying to fade Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs for the second consecutive game. Good luck with that. But I do agree. I think Philadelphia is a very formidable challenge for the Chiefs. So let's go to some trends here. If you are, and I'll tell you some other reasons to go with Philadelphia. And I think actually these things I'm about to tell you apply if you believe in point spread trends, specifically in this game. If you're picking a winner based on the point spread, the Super Bowl's outright winner is 48-7-3 against the spread in the 58 previous Super Bowls. So this is the highest mark of any NFL postseason round. But if we cut that in half or more than in half, the past 23 Super Bowls, underdogs are 17-6 against the spread, including 12-4 against the spread in the last 17. So if you like dogs to cover, the Eagles would be maybe your choice. Not rooting interest. We're talking about the investments. That said, the wager would be much more attractive if the Eagles were even a two-point underdog instead of a one-point underdog. And who knows, maybe it'll get back up to two. Another reason to take a hard look at the Eagles is the formidable presence of their running back, Saquon Barkley, who's got 2,447 yards rushing in 19 games. That includes regular season and postseason. That's an average of 129 yards rushing per game. He's also a pretty good guy catching passes out of the backfield. But here's why Barkley, he's obviously a huge factor in this game. But tying it into the wagering angle, teams that rush for more yards in the Super Bowl are 43-15 straight up in the previous 58 Super Bowls and 41-14-3 against the spread. 43-15 straight up, 41-14-3 against the spread. So if you think that Barkley, because of Barkley and Jalen Hurts can run the football, they're going to outgain the Chiefs on the ground. Man, the trends on the best running team in the Super Bowl, the trends really, really favor the Eagles. If you believe that Barkley will have a day. However, this is why the Chiefs are so tricky. You can never, like, some of the normal trends don't apply to them, for what it's worth. Former Rams head coach Steve Spagnuolo, who I think is one of the great, if not the greatest, defensive coordinators of this Super Bowl era, he's had 18 postseason games as Kansas City's defensive coordinator. And Spags, his defenses, 18 games in the postseason of Kansas City's defenses have never allowed an opposing running back to compile as much as 90 yards rushing. They've never allowed more than 89 yards rushing. And if we add in Spags' time as the Giants' defensive coordinator before he came to St. Louis and took over as the head coach, he never had a chance, by the way. But if we add in Spags' time as the defense coordinator with the Giants, 23 games total now, Giants-Chiefs as the DC, his defenses have allowed one back to rush for 100 or more yards in 23 games. And that was Marion Barber in Dallas in 2007. And it really didn't matter because they beat Dallas and they went on to win the Super Bowl. Don't forget that in last year's game, you know, Christian McCaffrey came in after having a wonderful, I mean, a great, great regular season and early playoff rounds. And he was at the top of his game. He was healthy and he's quick. He was doing it all for them. And I remember one of the storylines going into last year's postseason, which is like, yeah, the Chiefs are really good, but man, they haven't had to take on a back like McCaffrey in a big game in a long, long time. And McCaffrey can do this, he can do that. And all of that was true. boy, did Spagnuolo's defense put the clamps down on McCaffrey in last year's Super Bowl. The 49ers were an excellent running back. He had 22 carries for 80 yards. That's an average of 3.6 yards per carry. And listen, he did catch some passes, including one for a touchdown. But my point, the point, is that they stopped that team on the ground. And that team, that San Francisco team, was a heck of a running team. Another reason to think about Philly, see, I'm going back and forth a little bit, is this stat. The team with the better record going into the Super Bowl game has lost 12 of the last 14 Super Bowls and is on a 1-16 against the spread skid in Super Bowls since 2004. Now, there isn't much difference, but this trend favors the Eagles because the Chiefs have a 17-2 record. And the Chiefs are 17-3. But actually, so the team that comes in with the lesser record over the entire season, including playoffs, they actually have done very, very well, like winning the Super Bowl and covering the point spread in the Super Bowl. So this would be a trend that favors Philadelphia. Another reason to have some confidence in the Eagles is their defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. He's widely heralded in the game. The Chiefs were actually second in the league this season in the percentage of possessions that move the ball inside the opponent's red zone, you know, 20 yards from the end zone. And the Chiefs, people say, well, the Chiefs' offense is lousy, but they're looking at points per game. They're looking at yards per game, looking at yards per play, all that stuff. The Chiefs were really actually very, very good about driving the ball down the field and putting themselves in a position to score touchdowns. But they were really bad at that by their standards. Like they'll get the ball to the red zone and then they stall and they have to settle for field goals too much. This season, the Chiefs' rate of converting red zone opportunities into touchdowns is 53.8%. That's the lowest in Patrick Mahomes' seven seasons leading this offense. And Fangio's work in this area, it's not just the Chiefs struggling in the red zone. Fangio is known wherever he has coached. He is known as basically being a red zone specialist who makes it really, really tough for opponents to score touchdowns. He'll let you kick a field goal, but you're going to have a hard time getting past that blockade that he's setting up. And this season, the Eagles were the league's sixth best team at limiting touchdowns in the red zone. And that's been a hallmark of just about every defense put together by Fangio. More than that, listen to this one now. If you're thinking about, yeah, okay, Eagles are going to get this. If you're looking at it from a wagering perspective. In eight career games against the Reed Mahomes offense, Fangio's defense held the Chiefs to a red zone touchdown rate of 37%. Let me put this in context. That's really, really impressive because during this time, during the time where the Chiefs, all these years that they did go up against a Fangio defense, 37% touchdown rate in the red zone, but against every other defense, not coached by Fangio, their red zone touchdown percentage was like 63%. Look at what a great, great job. It's eight games. I know it's not 18, it's eight games, but what a great job Fangio's defenses have been doing. It like, okay, the Chiefs will drive the ball. They'll gain yards. They get down to the red zone though, man, and boom, they constrict it. Fangio's defense constrict it. And they make it really hard to get past that barricade. And that's a factor in this game. Because if Fangio's defenses could shut the Chiefs down back in the red zone when the Chiefs were at their very best offensively, well, how will the Chiefs bust through for red zone touchdowns with an offense that was not nearly as strong by Kansas City standards this year? I do say this, though. Watch out for Andy Reid. Because you know what he does, that old rascal, that walrus-looking coach? I love Andy Reid. He saves plays. Like, he doesn't put anything on tape. The guy is consumed with drawing up beautiful plays, fancy plays, trick plays, creative plays. And he puts them in his pocket and he keeps it there because he knows he's going to be in the playoffs. He knows he might be in the Super Bowl. He's not going to put that thing on game tape for other teams to scout. So I bet you Andy Reid, if they have many red zone opportunities Sunday, I bet you Andy Reid is going to have some secret playbook red zone wizardry waiting for Fangio and the Eagles. Stuff where they did that against the Bills last week. They had some design runs for Mahomes down in the red zone. It was very, very effective. So, yeah, Andy Reid, he knows how good Fangio defenses are in the red zone. And what, you think he's not going to come up with something to try to catch him off guard? He'll try, so we'll see. But it'll be a good, pardon the cliche, cat and mouse game between the head coach and the other team's defensive coordinator. Now, on the other hand, back to pure football stuff, the Spagnuolo defense should be able to harass Philly quarterback Jalen Hurts. Spagnuolo's very creative and very innovative blitz packages are unpredictable and at times unblockable because you never know where the pressure is coming from. He's the best there is at putting blitzes together. And these are all facts. These aren't opinions. These are all based on facts. Hurts has one of the highest sack rates among NFL quarterbacks this season because he holds on to the ball too long. And I'm sure the coaching staff said, hey, Jalen, you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it quicker. But he doesn't seem to do that. And he is a slick runner because when I was talking to some of my friends about this thing, they were saying, yeah, but he'll blitz. But, you know, Hurts is he's a really good runner. He's a really good runner. He'll get away from the blitzes. Not so fast because he holds on to the ball. And he doesn't escape many sacks, not nearly as many as you probably would assume, understandably, because he's a mobile quarterback, but he's not very good at ducking the blitz. Warren Sharp, who's an excellent football data guy, can really break things down. He shared some stats earlier this week that show that Hurts is, believe it or not, he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. We're talking about regular quarterbacks, the worst regular quarterback in the NFL in passing performance when under a pass rush, and he is especially vulnerable to blitzes, and no one concocts better blitzes, surprising blitzes in terms of where they're coming from than Steve Spagnuolo. He hit Josh Allen. Remember that 4th-and-5 play that was basically Buffalo's last chance in the AFC Championship? You know, where the one where all of a sudden there's like 4 people in his face and they all came from one side. They were faking that blitz all day and never ran it. And then when Spags was getting in his headset or whatever, that he has a guy upstairs that's charting the pass protection on every single play, the other team's pass protection. So he was filling Spags in. He says, "Listen, they're expecting this, and they're kind of shifting their pass protection accordingly. So that special blitz that we were working on this week, they'll never see it coming." Because they're used to sort of, you know, warding off your blitzes in a certain way, and they think they got it cold. They think they got it down cold. This is the time to hit him with it. So what did he do? He blitzed like 2 cornerbacks. There was like 4 guys or like 3 guys for sure all over Josh Allen, and he kind of had an airmail one down there. And even that, the tight end should have caught the ball. But he saved that one blitz. The entire season never ran it. The entire postseason didn't run it until it was 4th-and-5 and the Bills needed to make a first down. And as soon as he ran it, the Bills were totally unprepared. Allen's like, whoa, you know, that's the kind of stuff he does. And he'll have some of that ready, I'm sure, on Sunday. I think the Eagles, I do believe I said this at the beginning, I do believe they're the better overall team than the Chiefs. I do. But as I also mentioned at the top, when has that really mattered? If you believe winning is a skill, and I absolutely do believe that winning is a skill, if you have coaches and players and a quarterback like Mahomes who just completely disregards mental pressure or anxiety or, you know, the stuff that turns guys into nervous wrecks and they can't function. When you're as cold-blooded as this team is, yeah, winning is a skill. It's a competitive character trait, but it's also a skill. And the Chiefs, if you look at it that way, the Chiefs do have a proven edge with Andy Reid as the coach, Mahomes as the quarterback, and Steve Spagnuolo running that defense. Let me just go through this, if I could, because I think this stuff is not only interesting in terms of investing in Sunday's game, but it's really, really interesting in terms of just understanding the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and whether you like the Chiefs or not. I really don't care. This has to do with like a historically great quarterback. This doesn't have to do with rooting interest. So, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with officials, okay? You don't win as much as this team has won what, like they need officials to make bad calls on their behalf. I kind of understand that we live in a time of great conspiracy. Everything is a conspiracy. I get it. What an insult it is to Mahomes. The diaper baby whining about officials, you know, because people can't accept the fact he's really that great. And it's not just great from down to down. He's at his best when it's all on the line. Here are some relevant numbers that apply to this game. He's 14-1 in dome games, which this one will be during his career. January and February, home games or neutral games, he's 16-2 straight up. And if you include November and December games, adding it to January, you adding it to January and February, he's 44-6 straight up. In playoffs, as an underdog or as the favored by no more than a field goal, he's 8-0 straight up and 8-0 against the spread. In his postseason career, he's 17-3 straight up. That's a winning percentage of .850. And among the quarterbacks with at least 10 career NFL playoff games, only Green Bay's Bart Starr at 9-1 has done better than that in terms of winning percentage. And that says a lot. That says an awful lot there. Then you contrast that to Jalen Hurts, who I think is a capable quarterback, man. I'm not trying to trash him. I'm going by the numbers. Jalen Hurts is 5-3 in the postseason. Mahomes is 17-3 in the postseason. So do the math. It means that Hurts has lost as many times, three times in 8 postseason games. Mahomes has lost 3 times in 20 postseason games. Does that tell you a lot? I think it does. Mahomes is 5-1 in the postseason when he's playing on the road or on a neutral field. And this is a neutral field down in Orleans. And when competing away from home in 26 games as an underdog or a betting favorite by 3 points or less on the road or neutral, underdog or betting favorite by 3 points or less, Mahomes is 24-1-1 against the spread. The other thing about Hurts, I mentioned that he's 5-3 in the postseason. When I gave you all the numbers about how great Mahomes has been in the postseason, away from home and neutral site games, 5-1 when playing on the road or a neutral field. Hurts is 0-3 in the postseason when playing on the road or at a neutral site, and his stats aren't that great. In his postseason career, Mahomes has engineered 6 fourth quarter comebacks and 7 game-winning drives in 20 games. Hurts has not had a fourth quarter victory or a game-winning drive in his 8 postseason games. Mahomes became the starter in 2018, and listen to this one. Since then, in the playoffs, entering the fourth quarter or overtime, down by a 1-score margin, which is applicable from 1 to 8 points in this case, when he's in that kind of situation, entering the fourth quarter or OT, down by 1 score, which is 1 to 8 points, Kansas City has scored on 11 of 12 offensive possessions. I mean, this is – see what I mean? I mean, cold-hearted. Pressure doesn't bother him. Nothing. He shakes it off. That's – Michael Jordan was like that. Joe Montana was like that. There were so many others we could name who were like that. He's got that. How about the rest factor? During the season, postseason, regular season combined, he's played 34 games on 8 or more days of rest since 2019. And I didn't write down the number, but his winning percentage in those games, phenomenal. Just take my word for it, phenomenal. I think he's lost like 3 games. Maybe around 3 or 4 games in that scenario. And I apologize. I just didn't write this one down. Speaking about having days off, Andy Reid is 29-3 straight up when he has 13 days off between games, which applies in this case. Reid's got 301 career victories, including the postseason. That's 4th all-time behind Shula, Belichick, and Halas. His 28 postseason wins already are 2nd in NFL history to Bill Belichick's 31. And that's no offense at all to Sirianni, the Eagles' head coach, who I think showed a lot of resiliency and a lot of mental toughness coming back from a tumultuous 2023 season where his job was thought to be in peril. He's done a hell of a job this year. He's a really good coach. But Andy Reid right now in the National Football League, you know, kind of stands alone on the top of the mountain. And that's the thing that my thinking in this game. You know, the Chiefs arguably have the best head coach, quarterback, and defensive coordinator combination in Super Bowl era history. Reid's got three Super Bowl rings, gone for a fourth. Mahomes has three rings, gone for a fourth, including his time with the Giants. Spagnuolo's already got four Super Bowl rings with a chance to make it five. Spags became Reid's defensive coordinator in 2019, and in the six seasons with Spags there with Mahomes and Reid, the Chiefs have won 78% of their regular season games and 89% of their postseason games. Here's one weird trend I want to throw in here. It's a little out of context because I'm talking about other things, but the Eagles scored 55 points in the NFC Championship win over Washington. It was a blowout. This is an interesting one to me. It doesn't make sense, but it's true. In the Super Bowl era, the 10 teams that have scored 40 or more points in a conference title game are only 3-7 in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, like we mentioned, they're not always the best team, but they play chess better than everybody else, and they don't lose their nerve or their confidence when they're playing chess. And they seem to be, even if they're struggling, they're kind of, you know, they seem to be in their heads. They might be a move or two ahead of everybody, right? The Eagles are the better team, but they don't have Mahomes, Reid, or Spagnuolo, and they certainly don't have the collective success of those two coaches and a quarterback. If you're looking for reasons to take the Eagles, there are many legitimate reasons to do so, but Mahomes in big spots is just one of the all-time great winners, and he's also a tremendous force multiplier who makes his teammates much better. His ability to pull out close win after close win after close win after close win keeps his teammates' morale up, and he keeps them inflated with confidence, even if the game's going really poorly. 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, people kind of forget, Philadelphia looked like they were in control. Philly led the game 24-14 after three quarters. They should have won the game. No, Mahomes, again, cold-hearted guy. He rallied his team back, and the Chiefs won by three. Kansas City, by the way, has won 23 out of the 24 games started by Mahomes. 23 out of the last 24 games started by Mahomes. Because remember, the final regular season game this year, he didn't start. They lost at Denver. They kind of mailed one in. So he's 23-1 in his last 24 starts, including postseason. And even though the Vic Fangio defense, they're good, and especially in the red zone, it's been a challenge. Mahomes is still 8-0 straight up and 6-2 against Fazio in his career. And even when a defense – check this stat out. Even when a defense holds Mahomes to 200 yards passing or less in a game, in other words, they're doing what they set out to do. Well, we got to control Mahomes. We got to limit him. Okay. Even when they do that and they're successful at it, Mahomes is 23-3 in his career with 12 straight wins as of right now in those lower passing yards games of his. And in such games played in the month of November or later where he passes for 200 yards or fewer, Mahomes is 12-0. I'm taking the Chiefs because their flaws don't matter. It's a championship team with championship DNA. It has a great closer, maybe the ultimate closer, Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Listen, this year, and this is a short list, there's many, many other things. Mahomes has overcome shaky pass protection. He's gotten sacked a career high number of times. They don't have the explosive plays on the ground or in the air. He's got to throw a lot of short passes. And as Hank Stram would say, you know, matriculate his way down the field. But he finds a way to beat you. He finds a way to beat you, even though maybe his team's got less talent than your team. And listen, Saquon Barkley can wreck he's capable of wrecking any defense. Barkley's going to be tough to stop. However, let's get back to our friend Spags. He has faced bigger challenges, you know. And I'm sure a lot of you remember this, but for those who forgot it or didn't know this, remember the 2000 season Super Bowl? The Patriots were undefeated, 17-0 coming in, and they averaged just under 37 points per game, and they were averaging like over 450 yards per game. But Spags put in that great pass rush design where he took pass rushers, usually edge guys, and put them at defensive tackle because he knows Brady really hates the pressure coming straight at him, straight up the middle. And they were in his grill all day long, and the Patriots were just frazzled, and Brady was frazzled. And Spags' defensive game plan held those Patriots, again, who average about 37 points a game, 450, 460 yards per game. He held them to 14 points and 274 yards. And the Giants were a 12.5-point underdog in that game. One of the great upsets ever against a team that had not lost all year until that Super Bowl. So in this Super Bowl, listen, one team has been this way before and couldn't win it. The other team has now been this way five times in the last six seasons, and they've taken the Super Bowl trophy back to Kansas City three times. Mahomes has lost two postseason games to Tom Brady, and the second time he lost, well, the first was an overtime loss when Mahomes was, in effect, a rookie starting quarterback. That was that overtime game in Kansas City. It was phenomenal. That was the 2018 season. But the second time he lost to Brady, it was in the Super Bowl. And that Super Bowl, if you remember, was played in Tampa Bay. I mean, it was played in Brady Stadium. But in the other 18 postseason games that did not include Tom Brady going against him, Mahomes is 17-1, and his only loss came to Joe Burrow, who is one hell of a quarterback. If he only had a defense, he might have been in this game this year, but the Bengals couldn't stop anybody. I think Sunday's game might be a tight one, but then again, that kind of goes right with the Chiefs, right? They've won seven. This is so ridiculous. They've won 17 consecutive games that have been decided by a one-score margin, and they've done it 12 times already this season. Listen, I would not be surprised by a Philadelphia win, and I've told you the reasons why. I mean, Philadelphia can do this, but I don't think they're going to do this. But I would not be surprised because they are bringing in the better, more talented roster into the Super Bowl matchup compared to the one they had with the Chiefs 2 years ago. But I would be surprised to see the Chiefs lose because all they do is win and win and win and win, and this is their time of the year in particular. So my pick, 26-23, Kansas City wins. And I'm sorry, I was fired up to present all this information because I know a lot of you, let's use the horse race term, you like to play the ponies a little bit. Or if you're like me, you like to try to figure it out and come up with the stuff that tells you it's got to go this way or that way. So I'll probably get like 200 views. That's okay. Sometimes I do videos because I want to do them. You know, I provide a lot of Cardinals content and a lot of other things, but sometimes I want to talk about what I want to talk about. And this is for me, and it's for my friends who are watching it around the country, including my brother. And it's for people in this viewing audience who kind of like breaking down a Super Bowl and trying to figure out who's going to win. I always give you a lot of stuff to work with in terms of making up your mind. So if you boycott the video, well, actually, it doesn't matter because I'm saying goodbye. So if you're not watching, you're not watching. But for those of you who watched, tip of the cap to you. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy the weekend and the Super Bowl. I'll be back Monday unless there's some breaking news on the Cardinals front. And no, not it doesn't involve get trading for a minor league Twins at utility man like they did on Thursday. All right, I'm stuttering now. So let me shut up and shut this thing down. Have a great weekend.